Put me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, and jealousy as severe as Sheol. Thank you, Jesus. Its flashes are flashes of fire, the very flame of the Lord. Many waters cannot quench love. Thank you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Father. We love you, Holy Spirit. You're the guest of honor here. I love you so much. Yes, Lord. We're overwhelmed by your goodness, overwhelmed by your love, overwhelmed by your grace, overwhelmed by your mercy. But your love is better than wine. I just love you so, so much. Thank you, Jesus. We're just lovesick, Lord. We love you. We want more of you. Just lay ourselves down. Thank you for your holy invasion of our heart. Jesus, we exalt your name. We praise your name. We bless your name. We extol your name. You are our magnificent obsession, our extravagant lover. We're overwhelmed by you. Overwhelmed again and again. You're here. Receive you. Receive you today. Look at Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Nothing sweeter than your presence, so. Nothing. Without you, we can do nothing. We just stay here a little longer. There's rest in you. Thank you, Jesus. Oh. You are the reigning spirit over this region. You're amazing. Our God, we follow you. We listen to you. We hear you. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. The sweet rain of his presence is here this morning. Just invite you to continue to bask in his goodness right now. As he sweeps through our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You're here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. so in love with you. Thank you more. Thank you for your increase this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. What a privilege to be enjoyed by you and to enjoy you. Such pleasures in knowing you, loving you, being loved by you. The ultimate joy of our heart. You are our strength. Thank you for your overwhelming release of your heart to us. Thank you. Thank you. Shut up. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of revelation here today. Thank you, Lord. Take us into those deeper places, Lord. That's the desire of our hearts. Just hunger after you. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just want your way, Lord. Whatever you want to do. This morning we have such a privilege in our house today to have a new friend for many of us, Ben Atkinson. Ben and his friend Dustin, welcome. Glad to have you here. You will be so filled up even more, I'm sure, because Ben loves Jesus so much. And his life is centered around listening, loving, serving, and just being totally enveloped by him. I met him about a year ago or so, sometime last year, at a conference in the area. And then we met again up at the Rick Pino concert, and some of you were up there. And just really felt, Pastor Bill and I just really felt that we want to ask and see if it would work to invite Ben to come to our house here. And he's filled with fire and revelation and deep compassion for people, overwhelming love for the Father, Jesus, Holy Spirit. And that's very refreshing. Because that's our call. We might need some batteries here. That's our call, is to lay down and receive. And then release. Ben and Dustin just came from Michigan, and they may share what God puts on their hearts, or Ben will share whatever it is that God leads him to do. And I know that many of you have heard the call from the Lord for this season, for such a time as this, in our region. We've been talking about this for what's coming, the world's coming into our house, meaning our place in this region, into this area, and bringing the world through the GG9. And he's going to share what God puts on his heart about that. And many of us have been going to connecting with others in prayer and just saying, God, how do you want to do this? We want to be vessels of your love, vessels of your goodness. You know, this is you loving us so much in this region that you would give us the privilege of releasing you in this area. I mean, what a cool thing is that? And many of us have had a lot of experience overseas and love to release the love of the Lord there, and we're going to continue to do that in a lot of local, what we call outreach here. But wow, to have the world come in to this area, so cool that we can participate with what the Lord's doing and how he's saying, kids, I'm entrusting a lot to you. I mean, it's his mission, but he's saying, I want to use you, I've filled you up, and just go blast my love in the way that I lead you to do that. And Ben's at the forefront of that in this region, and he and his wife Nadia live in Cincinnati, and they're 5 kids. And I know Ben has been really charged up at one point. I'm not sure if you're still connected, Ben, in Virginia, but the Virginia Houses of Prayer, I know that he's led a movement in Virginia and now is in Cincinnati with the Cincinnati House of Prayer, and has been, I'm not sure if he's still part of J-Hop or not. He can share whatever. We have a little card. Everybody should be getting one. Did you guys pass that out? It just overviews a little of the little that we know about Ben right now. I'm sure there's a whole lot more. And we just want to welcome him. Thank you, sweetie. Oh, that's so nice. Thank you. It's even hot. Just want to welcome him here at Frontline, and just so excited that he's with us. I know junior high, you're going to stay in here and hear what the Lord's saying. I know we just finished Jackson's celebration, and I just want to thank Carly and her team. Yeah. You guys are awesome. You guys manned the table out and drew it, where thousands of people were walking by from Wednesday to through last night. And I just thank God. Thank God for you. And I know Carly has got just a very brief, quick mention of what happened this week. We were there. But it was just really cool with all the prophetic drawing and people being drawn in, just, you know, by the droves for Wednesday through Sunday. How cool is that? So just a real quick overview, honey.
Yeah, we got to draw so many pictures for people. Some people came back, remembered our table from last year at the Jackson Community Celebration. And 2 people at the table prayed to receive the Lord, and others rededicated their lives. So we just praise God for that. It was really an amazing outpouring of his love. So many others were blessed and encouraged. And so I just want to thank you all so much for those who partnered in prayer and those who spent time to come out to help with the booth. I couldn't have done it alone. And I had somebody there with me the whole time. So I just really appreciate all of you and all of your help. So praise the Lord. Thank you, God.
I think this is the third year. Did you? We've been there. It's cool because it's right here in our own backyard, and everybody from this whole area. It was crazy. I mean, the police blocked off the roads, and there was a 5K running. I mean, I've never seen Jackson buzzing like that. So this is a way to infiltrate through love. So good job, everybody. Thank you for your time. So we just want to welcome Ben up here, and I know Lawrence was going to, because I know how it is when we all are going in different directions. So Lawrence was just going to give an invitation. Are you here, Lawrence? He's not here? Well, maybe after then. So Ben, if you just want to come up, and just can we give him a big welcome? Just thank the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Okay, my friend. God bless you. Welcome.
Welcome here.
I'm going to, sure.
either there. Or I'm going to have to put this on there. I'll just jump up here. I mean, if y'all are okay, I'm not a musician. Who said sure you're not? All right. Okay. Wow. I really like you guys. Nah, you guys are... Wow. I have a friend of mine. I call her the most dangerous woman in the world. I can't even remember her name right now. Who's that? Toronto. Carol, the most dangerous. I call her the most dangerous woman in the world. She was praying for me one time, and I couldn't walk away. If I tried to walk away, she like, Benjamin, bam, and the Lord, I mean, he really nailed me. I was like, oh God. I was like, woman, stop it. I mean, it was intense. Oh, but I think I found some people just as hungry here. Awesome, praise God. What time is it? You're a scary church if you don't have a... It's 12 o'clock. No, seriously, you're a scary church if you don't have a... In my church, I'm not going to name the denomination, a PCA, but... And people are like, why do you go to the PCA? And then, number one, they preach the word like nobody's business. And number two, I'm a missionary here. So why should I not be there? So it's a good place. But they're done. My pastor can get a sermon done in 28 minutes. I don't know how he does it. I'm like, dude, I can't even tell my opening joke that short of a time. And... he and I are so close. We have so much fun together. We're extreme opposites, but our kids go to the same homeschool co-op, and we're the same age, and we were both on our way to law school, and at the last minute went into ministry. And I hope to go back into law school real soon, but not him. He's smarter, so he'll just stay steady in the... Okay, let's pray. And I have five kids. And my wife said something about the fear of the Lord and me being home by four, so. In the name of Jesus and my wife, I'll be leaving. No, I'm just joking. Okay, Father, we thank you for these people that you really like, obviously. And we thank you for the joy in this church. Yeah, it's really the Father heart of God. It's both and. It's the joy and the fear of the Lord. You can't have one without the other. And it's just beautiful, beautiful people. Lord, I thank you for your beautiful friends you like so much. Lord, we just ask that you would give grace to speak the words that need to be spoken and to let the word of the Lord run swiftly and to bless these beautiful people. And in Jesus' name, amen. I would love to be prophesying over you all, but I will not. But I will release general words. I'm not a preacher, I'm a storyteller. Or I'm not a teacher, I'm a storyteller. I just get to, in God's grace, people are like, you know, I've been preaching for I don't know how many years, but they're always like, we don't know what you just said, but it's obvious you love Jesus. I love Jesus because he saved me. How many of you got saved? Oh, awesome. All of you. I've been in some churches where not everybody raises their hand. And I usually don't normally. And then you go back to the basic message. If I'm in a church on Sunday where they don't raise their hand that they're saved, you either do the repent and believe message or you do the don't let Disney disciple your kids. And I'm not saying every Disney movie is bad. But so some of you already just tuned me out. You're like, that guy is a legalist. Well, probably not. We were with the kids on Wednesday. We do the children's. What do? The children's. No, God shows up and the children do the ministry to him. Let me give you, you already get this, but I'm going to share some stuff. So you get a higher perspective of the children in this area. I know Pastor Bill gets this because you just take one look at his eyes, and I know most of you get this. So I'm preaching to the choir, but for the others that are out there, you go tell them. And so I was in Richmond, Virginia, inner city. We were planning a house of prayer right by with Matthew and Sherry Moore, my two favorite people. Like you, they're just so precious, like you guys. And they're just faithful. They're just on the wall. They're just going for it. They don't give up. And I am forever linked to women like Miss Mary Pat because Jesus is. And he's like, go serve the Mary Bethany's, the Anna's. I can't tell you every... I can find you people, you women, because he does. I was in Florida, and this woman walked up to me and they were like, such and such person wants you to preach at their place on Sunday. And I'm like, I look at the lady and I go, is she one of them? And the Lord's like, yeah, she's one of them. And I go to the place and they're like, thank you for coming. The last person who came here, I go, I'm thinking was who? She's like, was Jim Gall. And I go, whoa. Oh. I'm sorry. I just want to start preaching on Psalm 110. And how you raise your children to hear the conversations between the Father and the Son. We'll get to that in a minute. And so I am sitting in Richmond, Virginia. We're in there's at least 2-3 shots a night around our neighborhood. One night my mother-in-law comes to visit. We're walking down the street. The police jump out and grab this guy. It's like 9:30 at night. My mother-in-law's like, let's go, hurry up. And she's like, does that always happen? I go, normally they don't catch him. She freaked out. We had her stay there on New Year's Eve. There's at least 1,000 shots around my neighborhood at night because everyone just... I don't know if they do that down here. In my neighborhood, they did. And my mother-in-law was like, oh my God, my family's going to die. And we're in the inner city. My son's 3.5 years old. And Jesus tells me, he goes, I want you to move the children's prayer meeting. We're next, right next to a strip club, right next to a biker bar, next to a hip-hop, doing a prayer room in the inner city. How many have, you all have faith? So I don't need to ask how many have faith. Again, I'm speaking to the choir. You all have faith that God can do anything. And I didn't, but I got sent there to learn about it. And so... we're in the middle of this inner city, and the Lord says, put the children's prayer meeting on the second floor, no parking, with the moms with Cheerios, diaper bags, and strollers. Tell them to walk up to the second story and minister to me there. I'm like, yeah, you're crazy. No way. And I'm just sitting there going, my wife is going to fillet me. The five other moms aren't going to come, and we'll be left with my kids in an upstairs room in the inner city. No thanks. I'm in trouble. You know, you ever get to one of those moments with God where you just say yes? And you're like, this is not going to work out, but you pay my rent if you feel like it. And I'm just like, okay. I mean, I've done that 1,000 times, and you just get dangled further out. Now you're dangling by one hair, you know, where before you were like two hairs. Meanwhile, the guy holding you is God, so you're okay. And nobody dangles well, so just love them while they're dangling. That's what I say. Can you believe that guy did it? You were like 10 times worse 10 years ago. Just love him well. Could you believe that, brother? I was with you. Okay, sorry. And where was I? Richmond, Virginia. I'm telling you this for a reason. Oh, yeah. No, I'm just trying to get back where I was with the Lord. Troy took me away. No, I'm just joking. And so here we are. I'm standing there saying, I say okay to God. Like he needed my permission. But my 3.5-year-old comes and stands in front of me, turns and looks me in the eye and says, Dad, you must move the children's prayer meeting upstairs. I said, excuse me? He goes, oh, I forgot to tell you, I had a dream. We will go up there and Jesus will dance with us when we sing to him. I looked at him, I said, excuse me? He said, oh, he will meet us there. And he turned around and walked away. Every time we went in that room, we knew that Jesus was there. So we got the kids in a circle and we said, who wants to give Jesus a hug today? I know, I know. Okay, let's use our words. Ready? Oh, you're beautiful. Come on, let's use our words. Our words are going to reach out and hug him. And we get in a circle and we would sing to him until the kids were weeping or we were. We get to do this. The kids get to worship him. They get to sing to him. We let our kids sing to the Lord. We get an hour where they just minister to him and we teach them. And it's all messed up. But we let the 11-year-olds lead the 9-year-olds and the 9-year-olds lead the 7-year-olds and the 7-year-olds the 5. It's so much fun. We let them do that. Why? And Jesus said, let the kids come to me. Normally, we do the message on the Sunday services about making your home an altar of worship, where living revelation is the number one thing in your home. Not your cable bill, not your mortgage bill. But listen, if I'm in a Buddhist nation, they get about taking one of your rooms and putting the gods in there and worshiping. We need to make our homes a house of prayer, where living revelation comes in, and that's the number one thing. Jesus, living revelation, the word of God, spoken, read, prophesied, sang, declared, is what is the answer for this area. And then real smart people running around like Carly prophesying and the rest of you. Isn't that so cool that the world does the outreach and we just get a table for $40 and 2 chairs? We don't even have to do the mobilization. It's like, I'm a mobilizer. They're bringing 40,000 gay people to Northern Ohio. Sweet! I don't have to get on a plane. Do you know how long it would take to get all those people in one that are gay in one area? A really long time. You couldn't do it. Only God could. Okay. Okay. Pastor Bill, I was just praying earlier, so many things. I felt that you're a treasure, not in earthen vessels. You are a literal treasure that the Lord is taking and just literally lifting and saying, look at these jewels. And saying, look at his faithfulness and his meekness. And just the, I really felt this is the most, I felt that I know you all do stuff in the nations, but I felt that the Lord, if you could just stand and I could pray for you. I just, if that's okay, sir, I don't mean to presume someone of your stature, but let's just stretch out our hands. Father, we pray for two things, that he would be a treasure poured out, opened up. It's just opened up. The Lord's just going to open you up for many people, that you're a treasure. And I really feel this is not just pastor, but it's all of us, because Paul says, my sphere of influence is increased by you as you're hungry and you go after the Lord. The Lord meets me. He's like, these people are faithful. They want, as you're asking the Lord in the secret place, the Lord is saying, I love this area. And I feel the Lord is opening the lid, and that's the treasures that you've gotten, the Word, the Spirit combined, that we need the Word and the Spirit combined to go forth as a mighty river, as a mighty treasure. And I also feel the Lord wants to untap sources of provision, that you all have been asking for a supernatural provision. I don't know, the phrase is, the Lord will provide to the faithful builders. And I feel that, now if you all could stand up, I feel this is a word for all of you. I feel that you all are Isaiah 58 builders. But before we get there, I feel the Lord just wants to say to you, wants to refresh you and just say, well done. Well done, good and faithful servants. You've been faithful with a little, and I'll give you much. Lord, we ask right now, these are the ones that you gave 1, 2, 3 talents to, and they ran and said, we'll do whatever we can with it. These are the ones that didn't check out at 9, Lord. They just said, we're going. These are the ones who drove around in vans and cars and picked people up. Lord, these are the ones that said, we're not looking at a food pantry to stand. We're going to go into their homes. These are the ones that had compassion behind the works, Lord. These were your friends, the ones that you said you'd put the loaves and the fishes in their hands. These are your friends, Lord. These are your friends. Lord, you kept saying, these are your friends. These are the ones you stay up with, you talk to. These are the ones. You are my friends. You're the ones I love to talk to. I love when you sit in my presence and come and play. I love when you call to me. I love when you give. Every time I ask, you give, you give, you give. You are my friends, and I put a roof over your head, because you are my friends. And I brought the lost among you, because you are my safe friends. And I will give you Bibles, because you are my friends. And you care about me and my word. And you have walked away when the spirit of control tried to walk into the room. You said, no. You have given yourself to me. You are a friend of my spirit. You are a friend, a safe resting place. And I will bring gift after gift, the word of wisdom, my favorite one. The word of knowledge, faith, healings, miracles as you ask of me. Mary, ask of me. Julie, ask of me. prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. Ask of me, it breaks the yoke. It opens eyes, it breaks the lies. Discernment of spirits, and I will bring them in, those struggling in the occult, gifted, and discernment of spirits, struggling, I will bring them in, and just tell them, I am the good Father, and I'll adopt them with my love. And from this place will be the sent ones. The sent ones you have asked of me, and I said, I will send you. Lord, we ask for the sent ones to go. Lord, the young people that come and stay in this house from other nations that be trained up and would be sent. The teachers you would raise up in this house. Lord, we ask for these ones. And the last word I feel just for you all is Isaiah 58, verse 12. I'm going to sing this over you. As I sing this, receive it and that it would be activated inside you. I believe the Lord wants to put the shovel in your hands that you would build foundations all across the world. That would be the beginning of wells of revival or places. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. But you'll begin to see. You'll begin to have eyes to see as the Lord does. You put the shovel in the ground. I feel the Lord say, even the least of these among you will put the shovel in the ground to build temples without hands. Those from among you, those from among your neighbors, those from among your families, and even those that are backslidden, they shall build the old waste places. Because you will have eyes to see. You shall partner with me and raise up the foundations of many generations. Because I will give you eyes to see. You will be called the repairer of the breach. The repairer of the breach. Ye shall be called the restorer of the streets. The restorer of the streets to dwell in. And you will know Isaiah 40. My heart for Israel. You will impart my love for my people Israel. You will impart my love, and you will bring my harvest home. I ask that the love that was found in your heart for Israel, your heart for the harvest will be found in these people. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, let's grab a seat. I lost my watch. No. No, I'm not going to do that to you. I'm an intercessor. I could literally go forever, and I'm training for the New York City Marathon, so... So, I don't know where to start with you people. Gosh. But I'm going to start with the warnings. How many know that America's not in the best place they need to be? But I'm not going to come here and judge America off the map tomorrow. That's kind of silly. That's actually not biblically accurate. Yes, God does come with judgments. Yes, absolutely. Like yesterday, today, next day. But he is also merciful if we will cry out for mercy. A lot of times people, young people always come up to me, they're like, God's going to wipe out the East Coast. And I was talking with this one young man, and I said, really? Like when? And he told me the day, and actually someone had given me a timeshare. I hadn't taken a vacation in years that same week. And I go, are you serious? Yes. Oh, I saw a license plate today and a blue flag. I'm like, okay. I mean, dude, my family's going to die. You're saying, don't go on your vacation, the fear of the Lord. Oh, okay. And of course, it didn't happen. And we got him delivered of the license plate deal. Yes, God can speak through license plates. But don't, I always say this. Don't go looking for God to speak. Let the Spirit of the Lord show you what He's doing. Be hungry, but don't run around. I saw 5-7 license plates. Really? Next time, go look for sixes. You know, my car said 777-777. Awesome. A little while ago, it said 666-666. What'd you do then? Okay, I'm just joking. Sort of. I actually am not, because we have to clean up the prophetic. Part of my job as a father in the prophecy is to just say, let's clean it up and let's let the Word speak, and then let the Holy Spirit speak, and then we stand with Him. Okay. I feel I'm in a safe place with you all wild people that Jesus loves. I felt this was also a safe place for kids. That's good that you find a safe place for children to come. Thankfully, it's here. I believe, to share about a warning, I believe God is coming to judge this nation because of the direction that we're going. And that's actually the mercy of God. Okay, if my kid is running out in the street without looking, a good father will say, hey, don't do that. And if they do that, I will discipline them, right? Because you don't want them to die. Well, God would never send judgment. When you consider eternity separated from the loving Father who created you with His Son and the Spirit, He's sitting there saying, I love you. I'm going to release my judgments upon you. I'll give you time to repent, time to repent, time to repent, time to repent. And if you don't, I'll release my judgments so you'll turn. He's really good. Lou Engel and I were on a plane the other day. I forget where we were. And Lou's like, these people are getting mad about the judgment word. I go, Lou, let's just use the chastening word, Hebrews 12. A good father chastens his children. They can't argue with that. Okay? If you don't like your children, if you're not right, you would not discipline your children. I mean, we all discipline our children, or we're living a crazy world led by sugar. Okay, and Disney. No, I'm just joking. No, but you know what we did with the kids the other day? We did Revelation chapter 4, and we talked about close our eyes, see what the Revelation 4, let the Word come alive inside of them, you know, tickle you on the inside. That's what we do. Holy Spirit, come, tickle us on the inside. And let the Word come alive. We want it to come alive, be real. And then, but we start with the Word. Otherwise, something else will be tickling them on the inside. And so, here we are talking with the children, and I said, hey, what do you like? One guy's, I like the four living creatures. They never stop. Holy, holy, holy. I go, and they got eyes everywhere, and I go, hey, which one of the four living creatures comes to Jesus, gives him a nudge, and say, hey, I'm tired. I need to take a 2-week break. They're like, well, none. Do they ever say, hey, 2 hours. I just need 2 hours. Frozen 2 is coming out. I'll be right back. I want, you know, no, are you kidding me? They're like, God, 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 holy, holy, holy. And they're not only gazing at the holiness of God right now, they're gazing at the God who was. Before he created heaven and earth, he was there. He didn't need anything. He didn't need one full living creature. And they're like, you created us. Oh my God, you didn't need us. Ah, you made us. They're looking back to God who was. You were already there. You were fine. You didn't need us. You made us. Holy. And you're right here. You let us be here. You're so kind. You gave us two wings to cover up here, two wings to cover, and then two wings to fly around so we don't blow up. You're so kind. They're like, holy, you know, because it's coming inside of them, but they're like trying to get away. Hallelujah! And they're like, we're too close. Don't go away. Ah! They are not wondering when the next movie's coming out. I'm serious. In our house, we have a rule with my one daughter. She's like the most intense. When she was 3 years old, she would stay up for 2-3 hours a night for 2-3 days in a row. And I would just put her before the Gospel of John, and she would sit there and watch it. We told my father-in-law, he's like, I can't believe that it's as intense as you. He came for Christmas. And he comes down at 3 o'clock in the morning when my daughter's like screaming, and he goes, this is anything but old Silent Night. But my daughter is so intense. It'll be like 11:30 at night. Dad, 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 let's pray. Dad, 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 let's read the Bible. Dad, you want to watch a movie? I'm like, no, I don't want to stop talking about movies, kid. We have a movie. We have a movie. The Duggars. That's what we watch all the time. And so we have a rule that my daughter must worship on the guitar. She's like 8 or something, I don't know, for a while before she gets to watch a Duggar. And I'm telling you, man, she'll sit in the corner. God, you are the rock. I mean, I have never seen. Now, I'm still on the kids. So I had a dream before a little bit after she was born. And in the dream, I'm watching her play the guitar. And I'm watching her. And the Lord says, I'm sending my best. And not just my daughter, you know, like I'm the proudest dad. No, the children, the generation. We can't get this vision of these kids that are like, we're going to plug them in and leave them. And if it's a single mom that has to do that, my God, get in there and help. And so we, in the dream, I'm watching my daughter play an instrument that doesn't exist yet. And I'm watching her play it, and people are getting healed. And I'm like, this is amazing. Jesus, you're so smart. And he's like, I know. I'm always amazed when I meet, I'm like, you're so smart and you're so kind. He's like, I know. Just pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you. And please remember this when you get up so I don't have to send that thing to you again. And, here I am. He gives me a date. And he says this phrase to me. He says, he said, raise up the fathers. Otherwise, he said, I'm sending you the world changers. If you do not father them, they will change the world. He gives me a date. And then he says, Fidel Castro. I look up the date. It's the date that Fidel Castro was born. And the Lord said, I'm sending ones like Fidel Castro. If you put them, if you father them and mother them and put them before the word, put them before instruments, then they will change the world. If not, they will change the world. Can you imagine what it would be like if there was 3 Fidel Castros on the earth at once? But God's sending thousands. We've got to disciple them. That's part of the warning. We must be about our Father's business of raising up the next generation. Okay? The other part of the warning is I've seen natural disasters. I've been walking with the farmers. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a few minutes. Just get that done real quick. But there's real people that are attached to these. We don't want to sit like Jonah on a hill and be like, Hartville. They're going to wipe it out tomorrow. God's going to wipe out Hartville. Why? Well, that pastor back there hurt me at the Mennonite church over there. I'm going to wipe it. God's coming with his judgment to wipe them out. I hope not. My friends are there. My buddy owns our grocery outlet. Don't kill those people. And the thing is, when the word of the Lord came about the judgment in the land, Jonah's heart wasn't in a position of compassion. Jonah heard the word of the Lord, but he didn't have love. So therefore, he was a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. But God anointed him anyway and turned the heart of the people. But he sat on a hill and waited for them to die. What if you went to Hartford and just marched on in and in 40 days, you're all going to die. I can't wait. That church hurt me down the road. What? Jonah went in and preached a message. He was a little too happy to preach. It just happened to be the word of the Lord. If you don't have love, you're a resounding gong and a clanging cymbal. You can be preaching the right words without God's love. I believe Psalm 26, verse 2, is the word of the Lord for us. Verse 1 says, we pray this. It's where am I now? Where do I live? Cincinnati. We pray this every Friday together. It's vindicate me, O God. Let God vindicate you. Whenever someone's wronged you, you can't get revenge. That's worth it anyways. But you can forgive them, release them to God, and let him love them. I'm not saying, listen, some of you have been hurt and harmed in your life. You need justice. You need God, the just judge, to step in and render justice. I'm not saying let the culprits go free. I'm saying, God, come with divine justice. Save them and bring justice. I love justice. I'm a justice guy. The next verse after it said, vindicate me, is examine me, find if there's anything that needs to be. I believe we're in an hour where the harvest is around us. We need to ask God to examine our hearts so that when we're preaching the message, the gospel message, it comes forth with such love. That when we preach about hell, it comes forth with such love. You can't preach the gospel message, Paul said, without preaching about hell. Jesus made hell. You certainly don't want to jump up. You're going to burn it down tomorrow. But you'll preach the message. I try to preach the gospel to my children every day. The Father really, really likes you. He held you in his heart before earth existed physically. You were a dream in his heart before I formed you in the womb. I knew you. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. And the earth was what? Without form and void. Well, where was it? On vacation? Well, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. How many have ever, y'all, built a house? Okay. You first work with an architect before you put one shovel in the ground. You go and you take the plans and you write, you take what's in your heart. If you're building your dream house, you take what's in your heart and you put it down on paper. The Father carried earth in his heart. He carried you in his heart. And he's like, you're my son. You're my daughter. I love you. You were very much alive. I love when we get in a abortion debate. Well, does life begin at conception? You know what they say legally? That life does not be given until a fertilized egg attaches to the wall of a uterus. Bad news for the little fertilized egg that's floating around, and then you've taken that one pill where it can't allow you to get onto the wall of the uterus so it throws the fertilized egg out. Bad news for that little guy. And so what happens is, because the law says that's okay, I'm like, hey, whoop. Jesus said this in the law deal. They're like, why do your disciples eat with unwashed hands? He's like, why do you, against the tradition of the elders, he says, why do you forsake the commandments of God for the sake of your little laws, the traditions of the elders? He goes, you can't make laws against God. And that's what we're standing up against with the LGBT community. Just because you make a law and says that it's okay for a civil union doesn't mean it's marriage. It's you agreeing to live in immorality for a tax write-off, tax agreement. No. That's immorality. Don't call that marriage. Marriage is sacred. It's holy. It's a picture of heaven and earth coming together. One man, one woman, one covenant. Just because a rule, just, I love getting in when people say abortion only happens in an abortion doctor. I go, no. When you realize that you're in the heart of the Father before earth existing, and Jesus speaks you out into existence, the Colossians 1 creating word speaks you into existence on the earth. At a set moment, at a set time, that you're not an accident. It doesn't matter what your past was. You are not an accident. God loves you. You may not have a father. You may not have a mother. But God is the greatest father ever. I tell my kids, He loves you. He made you. He held you in His heart before earth was even made. He made earth as a neat place for you to come and be and realize you can't do anything without His grace, and He likes you. So you'll cry out to Him and go, help, I need you. And then you'll come home and you'll stay there forever. Unlike Lucifer, which one day decided, who was in closest proximity to God. He was a worship leader. Ezekiel 28, Isaiah 14. You look at these scriptures. He was a worship leader who got the idea. He looked and he goes, oh my God. His job, he was closest proximity to God. I walked among the fiery altars. Was to look at God and get the glory of God in him and lead people in worship. In heaven, he was a worship leader. What did he do? He looked at God, the revelation would flow, he would sing. It says that he had jewels all around him. When he fell, he had to take those jewels and give them back. Living revelation. Our pastor has living revelation. He's not giving those jewels back and building his own kingdom. He's saying, I'll take these and build your kingdom. I remember one time, I won't tell that story. No, sorry, I got to do the judgment. Sorry. And so a friend said, you're the best guy for the judgment message because you're just a tall, goofy white guy. We have to listen. My black friends say that. We like you. You're the tall, goofy white guy. And so my Asian friends like me because I make them laugh. And so here we are. Hidden in the heart of the Father. I tell my children, guys, you were made before earth existed. God is taking you on earth, and He wants to be with you and give you the love of the Father forever. That you would know the Father. And see, this is the revelation Satan saw. He's looking at this going, holy, holy, holy. Wait a second, Father. All of a sudden, he realizes the God who is going to make people, and those people will get to love him as a father. What that means was, the angels get to see the holiness of God, we get to sing about the holiness and the love of God, and we get to feel that love roll inside of us. And you only get your time on earth to receive that love in your human frame. and read your Bible on earth, and then you'll get to heaven, and four living creatures will be like, hey, Mary Pat, what was it like to be in his presence and worship him on earth for your 100 years? I don't know how long you'll live. And you'll be like, oh, it was so glorious to be on earth and get to worship him. It was so great to open our Bible in the secret place and encounter the Word when we're on earth. And they're like, now we get to do it here. Yes, but I remember when we didn't have anything but CDs. It was so glorious. It was dry. You couldn't feel nothing but a little sliver. But it was so good when we lifted up our voices and he gave us a little drop. You think this is drudgery? You get to do this. You get to worship on earth. Not even for, and if Satan's like, they get to worship the Father. I'm doing my own deal. You get to do this. Moms, you get to do this. I know you're like, yeah, whatever. I get to do this. My wife has 5 kids, homeschool. I've come home early once or twice. Okay. All right, I got to finish up here in a little bit. I tell my kids, I try to teach my kids the gospel message every day. And I tell them, if you don't follow the God who wants to give you all the great, great stuff, get you into heaven, be with you and give you his love, the love of the bridegroom forever, give it to you right now, let you eat from the tree of life, give you a new name, stamp your name on the forehead so you can go into Jerusalem. You get that. You don't have to go in, stand in line, you know, and get your thing. You just get to walk in. You get a cool body, a glorified body. You get to float between walls, pop in and out, go to worship services here. You get to lead in the millennial reign. It's so cool. Come back on white horses. And then my 18-month-old always just stares at me like this. And he does this thing with his face. He's like, and I said, do you want to know Jesus? This is 2 days ago. He's like, and runs out of the room. I don't know what that meant, but. And then I go, if you don't listen, you will burn in hell. And my wife's like, I'm like, hey, I want these kids to grow up with the fear of the Lord, woman. And she's like, I'm like, but I'm serious. I'm like, if you don't. And I was in the donut shop the other day, and I'm serious. I do this every day. And I go, Dustin and I did this at a place this morning. We asked some lady about, it was a donut shop too. He said, don't eat too much of your product. And then, because she's like, I'm feeling bad. I go, well, don't eat any of your product. She goes, don't worry, I don't. And she's like, and I like donuts. Don't think I don't like donuts. Just not when I'm fasting. And so here we are. In this donut shop, and this young man is like getting our order, and he's being nice. And I said, "Hey, do you know Jesus?" That's what I always ask people, and they're always like, "Do I know Jesus?" Well, like not personally. Oh, don't you think you should? Well, everybody's got their own opinions. I've got my opinions, he said. And I said, "Are you willing to bet your opinions, bet your life on your opinions?" He's like, well, no. I go, have you considered that your sin is keeping you from God and him enjoying you, and you'll end up in hell if you don't turn to God because he wants to give you some of his love. Now, does that seem like I didn't smote them, I didn't wave them over, but it's the gospel message. He really likes you. You can't get there without Jesus, right? And that's 30 seconds. And this guy was looking at me like, do you want sprinkles with this or... I'm like, well, do you want fire with yours? Now, you might think that's, but I actually love him. I have compassion for him, so I can say that. Now, if I was Jonah sitting on a hill waiting for America to die, I would be like, the Lord shall smote thee. Meanwhile, what happens is we become immature in the prophetic. God's trying to speak. Yes, I do judge people. But I love them, get my loving kindness, and run out into the storm and tell them. I've seen storm after storm after storm coming to the U.S. I'm an East Coast person, We're in the Midwest, right? Or wherever we are. Ohio, sorry. And I'm a East Coast, like I'm a voice for the East Coast. That's my job. I pray, whether I live in Kansas City or wherever, Florida or whatever. That's the East Coast. My job is to serve in prayer for that community and stand before them and remind God, hey, you love lots of people down there. I've seen storm after storm after storm coming to the East Coast. But what do you do when the storms are coming? Do you sit up on a hill? No way. When one of the storms was coming into New York like 2 years ago or whatever that wiped everything out, we got together, our intercessory team. It's mostly post-abortive women that I love, and you do not deny them anything. I'd say to Jesus while they're praying, I don't know how you don't listen to them. And there are the scariest prayers I've ever met in my life. They love, because they're saved. And they were lied to. And they're like, give me back my children, God, break in right now, send me. I'm like, yes, God, do something. You imagine having to be the boss of those ladies? And so, I'm like, yeah, whatever you say, God, just do whatever they want. And we began to, one of the women was like, my friend, she is, my daughter's friend is a lesbian. She's trapped in New York City in a lesbian relationship. And we started praying for 2 months for her when we got together. We started praying. And then the storm came. That big, huge storm. Oh, wow. Sorry, my wife just texted me. You always got to stop for your wife. Jesus. Wow. The Lord is awakening lots of people right now. We're in D.C. next weekend. We're going to pray over some leaders. I love my job. I'll tell you about one of the governors in a minute. And you got to have hope for America and believe that he can use a donkey or a white guy from Buffalo. And so here we are. We're praying and praying and praying. And 3 days before the storm, this girl gets convicted by God and gets on a plane and flies and joins our prayer meeting the next week. He loves people so much. What is a lesbian relationship to the love of God? It's nothing. The Father, our God, is like, it's like standing in front of a 7-foot wave, which you can't. And he's like a billion miles high wave. And you're standing there saying, it's my civil right. And he's like, and this is my love, and I'm crashing down on you. That's what he's saying to America. I'm coming with, we're sitting there saying, he's going to judge and wipe out America because of the Republicans. Well, no, he's not. He's coming to judge you and me first. So ask him to examine your heart first. Otherwise, you'll end up like me with a broken knee. My foot literally went out to the side, and I had to snap it in place to learn Hebrews 12. Strengthen the arms which are hang down in the knees, which are dislocated. That's the verse he told me when he popped my knee out to the side. Did you ever snap your leg back in place? It was out here, and I'm like, ready? 1, 2, 3, whack! As I snapped it back in, I remember someone screaming, my God, did you see his leg? And then I just sat there in Hebrews 12, actually Isaiah 35 goes through me. And I'm like, strengthen the knees which are dislocated. And then I realized my leg just got popped back in. Oh God. Okay. All right. But I don't know why y'all let me come here, but thank you. Okay, where were we? Oh, we were dangling America. No. And so what I've seen is gradual waves coming. We were at the ankles, and it's ankle-deep judgment and ankle-deep revival, if you see it correctly. And then it's going to knee-deep. We're not there yet. And if you see it, it's knee-deep revival and knee-deep judgment. But you've got, and in all my dreams, the Lord is like, I remember he took me to the East Coast. He just said, I love these people so much. He flew me over. He's, look at these people. I love these people. They don't even know me, but I want them to be with me. I want to talk with them now. I want to share with them. And he loves the secret place. When you feel you know what compassion is? It's just listening to what the Father wrote about you in the secret place. The God who was, who is, and who is to come. Jesus is walking around listening to what the Father is talking about with you in the secret place. And he's moved with compassion. And he's like, what is sin or sickness to the compassion of our Father? Whew. Get the kids to listen to the conversation between the Godhead. David said, my Lord said to my Lord, said at my... What? Gee, the most quoted psalm in the Bible is Psalm 110. Why? Jesus likes when you listen to the conversations between he and his Father. I always tell the kids, if you quote Frozen, I'll blow up the TV. They're like, okay, Dad, you're going to blow up the TV. What is the Father saying? My wife's like, will you chill out with these guys? If my wife was here, she'd be like, just chill out. Just she said to be nice to you. So that was the last text. So in the East Coast, I'm getting to the judgment part soon. I'm at the East Coast, and the waves of judgment are coming, and it's getting ready to go knee deep. And I know it'll be severe judgment for a lot of people. And that he would come suddenly. And so in the dream, there's a knock at my door. I go to the door and it's Jesus. Only he's not Jesus, it's a lion. And he said, I want you to come out into the harvest field, into the waves with me. You need to see that it's knee-deep revival. And I get ready to come out and he goes, no, wait. And I backed up and this lion walks into my home. And how many of you know when a lion walks into your home, you don't say, nice kitty. And then there was another lion that walked in. So two lions start walking all over everything. And you don't go, don't do that. Hey, that's my fine china. They walked everywhere. And the Lord whispered to me, can I have your time and your energy, all of it? And I was like, ah! And I just said, I need grace for that. He goes, you can't do this on your own anyway. I'm only asking for you to give me what I'm asking you to give me. That's it. You know, I think, okay, I'm going to fast for 90 days, you know, my wife's like, every day, are you starting another water fast? Yeah, 100 days. What do you want for breakfast? And no, but by God's grace, I finished a whole lot of fasts. So, you know, don't laugh. You've been there too. And so, y'all feel led by 9 o'clock the next morning. I just feel the peace of the release of the Lord. No, you didn't. You're hungry. Don't blame God. You've been released. You haven't been released. You haven't made it to day three yet. You still got the shakes from the sugar you had last week. From that last big piece of pie you took before you got started the fast. I know. I know because, you know, my wife struggles with that too. So, and okay. I'm so sorry. Please forgive me. All right, I'll be serious. And so, he walks over everywhere and he says, son, I need to examine your heart. If you want to go out in the harvest field, I need to examine your heart. And I went through a 3-year season where the Lord just, in as kind as possible, ripped me apart. And here's how it started. They call me one day and say, we want you to come in and minister to Governor so-and-so. I was like, okay, great. When? They tell me the date. Bad. My wife is away for 3 days. She's never away for 3 days. She took one of the kids, and I'm left with four, and I've got no time to prepare to meet with this guy. You want to be ready, you know? So I had like a half an hour Monday morning. I remember I went before the Lord, and I said, hey, Lord, what do you want me to say to this guy? This is what he asked me. Why are you here? And I was like, oh. Okay, 28 minutes left. Okay, I'm here because they asked me to prophesy over Governor Joe Smoe. No, you're not. He said this, you're here because you want to be right and you don't want to give the wrong word. And I'm thinking, is that a bad thing? And he said, no, you're here because you want to be right, not because you love America. He said, if you want to know where I am, I'm in Jeremiah 14. And he gave me a verse. And in Jeremiah 14, it basically says, great judgment is coming. It's here, it's here, it's here. And what does Jeremiah say? Look at this, Jeremiah 14. Turn there. Here's my Jeremiah 14. It's gone. That I got this hoozy thing here. Someone gave it to me. Jesus. I'm not going to fake the Holy Spirit with you guys. I'm just really excited here. A lot of my spiritual sons, they get up there and they're just basically at this point, they're so under the strain of what they're doing that they crowds and they call it the Holy Spirit. And I'm like, when I catch them, I'm like, come here. I give them a noogie and beat them up. Verse 7, Lord, though our iniquities testify against us, do it for your sake. Okay, so basically what's happened is Jeremiah has talked about a famine on the land. And here's what he says, O hope of Israel, his Savior in time of trouble, why should you be like a stranger in the land who travels, who turns aside to tarry for a moment? How do you address God in your time of need? Do you know him? If you can't save money, do you know him as the God who can break curses? Do you know him as a God of wealth? If you're in debt, did you know that he died on the cross to take all your debts away? That's my favorite one, because I'm debt-free now. When I realized that, I'm like, oh my God, I don't have to have debt anymore. Really? But they told me I had to. Within a year and a half, I got rid of $130,000 worth of debt. And on paper, I made $7,100. Holy God. Oh, hope of Israel. And now, was Jeremiah praying like this? Oh, hope of Israel. How art thou now today? And that's, I love the King James. No, he was like, oh, hope of Israel. Listen, God says this. And he's like, this is what the Lord says. Verse 11, do not pray for these people. If God came to you and said, don't pray for America anymore, what would you say? Ha, I knew it. Those Republicans, those liberal flicks or whatever, they voted for whatever, whoever, whatever. If that's your response, you don't know the hope of Israel. And therefore, he's probably not going to come and share the destruction that's coming, because he wants someone to wait, to stand watch with him for an hour. Will you just come watch with me for an hour? Will you tarry with me in the garden for an hour? Verse 12. verse 12, what does Jeremiah respond? Jesus says, when they fast, I will not hear their cry. When they offer their burnt offerings, I will not... What? When they do the solemn assembly, I'm not going to come. When they go up to the altar and do what I've told them to do, I won't meet them. But I will consume them with the sword, with famine, and with pestilence. And Jeremiah said, good, I don't even like these people. I don't even know why you gave me this job. It's too hard. I don't even like this church. They don't let me do what I want to do. There might be a reason why. I always say, serve for 3 years, then do what you do well, and then let God promote you. That's what I always say. I probably just got in trouble. I'm so sorry. Oh, God. Oh, Lord God. That is this divine response. Oh, God! He wasn't like, ha, I knew it. I was right. It's like, no, oh, God, that's you standing in front of the billion-mile-high wave and saying, oh, but God! Are you so consumed by the loving kindness of the Father? Do you know why God loves repentance? Because you have to come to the mercy seat and He washes you clean. He loves washing His children with His mercy. And He loves empowering them with His grace to love. Oh, and to never sin again. And to anoint them to do what they're called to do. Jeremiah knows the God who's saying, oh, but God. And he gives the reasons. Do you have reasons why America should be restored and have mercy poured on it? You need to convince God. Tell Him. I always say, God, look at these things, they're like, they run around with them. They love them. If careful that the light inside of you is not darkness. You ever see people with these and their faces light up? Careful that the light that's coming off is not darkness. I'm not against phones. I use this to mobilize and love people all day long and connect with my family. Play games with my kids and stuff like that. I go, God, they're connected to these things. God, they've been discipled by Hollywood. God, the politicians are saying it's okay to do this. God, the churches aren't preaching. Half the churches don't even think you exist. God, there's a million more reasons why you should have mercy. Okay. Man, I love this state. I'm going to end just telling you quickly about gay people. Give me 10 minutes. I love the homosexual community. They're some of the most creative people I've ever met. Some of the happiest and some of the best dressers. All my gay friends are like, think I dress like a dork. We have friends in the fashion industry. I'm going to stop there because they're a pretty interesting group of people, the gay community. But I see them as lovers of God, sons and daughters that are coming home and intercessors for Israel. About 5 years ago, God gave me a dream of this. He said, keep your tap on America, Akron, keep your tap on Akron. I was in Kansas City building prayer with Muslim women into Iran in Farsi. That's a whole other story, and that's a blast. And we were building prayer with these persecuted women who have been stabbed, blown up, in jail, beaten with hammers, whatever. Now they sing in Farsi back into Iran through the satellites. Praise God. And they rap. I love it. I don't know what they're saying, but it's so good. And so, because the Lord said, give my daughters their voice back. I want to hear them sing. I was like, hey, and if you haven't lived till you got a woman her voice before God in heaven, You got to, it's just, that's, oh, it's like the best, funnest, hardest thing you'll ever do. So God says, keep your tap on America or Akron. I look up the website that he gives me. It's T.A.P. or some, it's a tolerance group in Akron who I don't think exists anymore. But it was all about be okay with being gay in Akron, Ohio. And I'm in Kansas City going, why would I even want to keep my tap in Akron? I don't, you know, I've never been, I've been, actually been there a bunch of times, but I'm like, Lord, are you going to send me back there? Like, I always, you know, with me, I move like every 2-3 years. I'm like, oh, Lord, please tell my wife first. And, which he hasn't. He never has. It's always like, okay. And so, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Forgive me. No, I seriously have the easiest life ever. And so, I'm ending with this. Don't worry. So, here we are. And then I start praying for the gay community. And when you start praying, how many know you're putting a target on you and you're going to, in a minute, get slammed by God, right? You're just going to get slammed by his compassion. And so I have a dream. I go to sleep. I have a dream. I'm on a campus, which we've been on Akron. And I'm on a campus and where I'm supposed to be the announcer for the basketball game, but I don't have Twitter and I don't have a smartphone in the dream, which I didn't in the natural. I was anti everything except for my computer to just sit in my prayer room and write down Jesus stuff. And it's like David stayed on the hill until the Spirit took him and said, now go, get working. So you stay on the hill till God grabs you. Or you'd be like Paul where he has to toss you in the wilderness. And so you stay there till the Spirit takes you, though. If you're not sent from heaven, where are you sent from? That's actually profound. John was sent by the Father. I have sent my messenger ahead of you to prepare the way. How many would like to be sent by the Father before Jesus? Good. Read Malachi chapter 4, verse 5 and 6, and you get to be a part of that too. From right here. You change the world from right here. Literally, you already know that. But so in the dream, I'm on the campus, and they say to me, or the Lord says to me, S-I-6, pay attention, son. And he says, I want you to contend against the homosexual agenda. And in the dream, they're taking bombs and throwing them like this and taking their phones and going around campus and detonating them. And basically what the Lord was saying is go to war. He said this to me. I wake up. He says, get an iPhone, get in the game, go to war on social media against the homosexual agenda. I want my sons and daughters set free. I want them to sing. I want them to know I love them. And then he said, SI6, pay attention. I look up SI6 and it's a computer warfare thing, a spy ring or something. International spy thing, SI6. It's actually real. There's an exhibit. I said, okay, that's weird. And he said, go to war with the testimony of Jesus. Get video testimonies of young men and women set free from the gay lifestyle and go to war. 4.5 million people on campuses tweeting that and posting that every day. Go to war with what I have done. How many know that is really brilliant? And I did not come up with that. Neither did our team. And I can't get that done at all. I'm in D.C. that day, just sitting there going, get an iPhone. I said this to the Lord. If you give me an iPhone, I'll do it for you. And I'm ending with this. 5 minutes, I'll be done. And it was the eve of Roe v. Wade anniversary. So we were in D.C. presenting our life amendment to pray for the president in the second term. But if you voted, if you thought that he was the Antichrist, I'm sorry, he's not smart enough. And it's actually not biblically accurate, but that's just read your Bible. All right, you know, prophetic people, just read your Bible a little bit. That's actually not true. Sorry. Forgive me. I got to do this fast. Please help me, Jesus. These are good people, Lord. Give me grace real fast. Okay. You like these people. So here I am in D.C. And I go, if you give me an iPhone, I'm staying at these people's house that I don't really know from this group that's totally evangelical, which I love. I love evangelical. I love Catholics the most, but I love evangelicals too. I love charismatics also. And so, I really love Presbyterians, but that's a whole, I just so appreciate how they stand for the word. And so here I am. I go to this guy comes up to me, we go to his house. It's like 11 o'clock at night. And he's like, hey, you know how you guys do that thing where you tell something that God said? I think God told me something for you. I'm like, what is it? You know, I'm just getting ready. Are you going to wipe America off the face of the earth too? Like, please don't become one of us right away. And I said, he goes, I'm supposed to buy you an iPhone and pay for it. Is that God? And I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, oh, you just made a lot of work for me, God. And this is the Lord said, you think I just made a lot of work for you and I'm letting you be part of a harvest. And he was actually kind of like, hey, little whippersnapper. And so so the next day, Lou and I are at Appomattox, where the Civil War ended. I have a dream the night before we go there that I'm at a house, not a court. It's supposed to be the courthouse. And I'm like, in the dream, I watch Robert E. Lee walk up the stairs, and he turns into a white buffalo. And the Lord said, Robert E. The white buffalo at Appomattox. And I'm like, I wake up, I'm like, that is the strangest dream. I'm not going to tell Lou. I tell Lou, I meet with him, that's the Lord. I don't know what it means, but that's God. If you know Lou, he's just like out of control. I love him. And so we go to Appomattox, and we're praying and praying and praying on the day of Roe v. Wade anniversary. We're praying. God told us, he gave us a dream. If you don't deal with the shedding of innocent blood on my, in your court, I'll take it to my court. Like I did in the Civil War. We enslaved the African American people. As a result, we built a nation on the backs of the black men and women of this nation. It's an absolute atrocity. Abraham Lincoln said this phrase, if we shall suppose that American slavery is one of those offenses which in the providence of God must needs come, but which, having continued through his appointed time, he now wills to remove, and that he gives to both North and South this terrible war, as the woe due by those whom the offense came, shall we discern therein any departure from the divine attributes which the believers in a living God always ascribe to him? Fondly do we hope, fervently do we pray, that this mighty scourge of a war may speedily pass away. Yet, if God wills it, it continue until all the wealth piled by the bondsman's 250 years of unrequited toil shall be sunk, and until every drop of blood drawn with the lash shall be paid by another drawn by the sword. As was said 3,000 years ago, so let it be said today, the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. He got it. For every drop of blood that was shed, blood was required. That's what the Bible says. What if we've reached a moment in our history where he's saying the blood is running out for the 50 million plus babies aborted? So we're praying at Appomattox, and the Lord says 600,000 died for what happened to the African-American men, women, and children. And all of a sudden he says, what will happen with the blood on the land and the abomination? So you think the abortion just happens with the women? It does. But what if two homosexual men get together and two lesbian women get together and people don't get married and those children are very much alive in the heart of the Father, are aborted and don't come forth. He hears their cry. They're very much alive. And he's saying, where are their voices? I want to hear them. And we are literally, God is on a rescue mission to the homosexual community, and we need to catch up. He said this to us. He said, what would you have said to the children, to the moms, the praying moms, 16 years before the Civil War? Start to shout it today to America. What if our sons and daughters were pulled into a war because of the blood that's on the Lamb, blood's required? What if our children were taken from us and forced to be in a war on other soils? My God. 2011, he said, what would you have said? 60. He didn't say it was coming, but he said, what would you say? Start shouting it today. We need to prepare. We prepare by crying out to God. We prepare by evangelism. I'll end with these two stories. I believe that God can turn our president. I am not staring at the whatever the tabloids say. I'm staring at the God of Daniel 2 who converted Nebuchadnezzar. We did 40 days of prayer and fasting before his first month in office. Because why? In 2008, the Lord told us you must contend for him in 2015. That he would turn in the second term just like Lincoln did. Lincoln changed his stance in the second term about slavery. Do you know his idea? He ran on this strange platform where he got black ministers together in a room and told them to go back to Africa. That's the dumbest idea I've ever heard of justice. Give me 2 minutes and I'll finish this. And here's what we do. The other day, we're contending for a life amendment that our president would turn. I believe if America calls to God for the president, prays for him this second term, that we will see our president turn, and we could see a federal human life amendment that ends abortion. In 2008, we wrote that. We actually wrote it up and we've been presenting it places. A constitutional convention for a human life amendment. Now, it's cool to say constitutional convention now, but not for a human life amendment for money. For money. It's not even going to last. But will God unite us together in the place of prayer, crying out for our president to turn? 3 weeks ago, I was in D.C., the Lord said, go to the Lincoln Memorial and prophesy the message. I stand in the Lincoln Memorial. Tell me what to say. Tell me what. This group of high schoolers come up and say, why are you here? We want to interview you. The guy that was with me goes, what? And I go, see this writing on the wall, just as Abraham Lincoln turned his stand. They're writing it all down. They took the word verbatim. They looked at me like I was crazy. And I said, my prayer is they become like Rachel weeping for her children. I say, and I'll end with this. I had this dream the other day that I'm in D.C. trying to get, this is years down the road. I believe in 2021, the Isaiah 58 verse 12, foundation builders will be loosed in the world. That God will put the shovel in the hands of the new breed of Joseph that have been trained in the houses of prayer, the praying churches in the secret place, and he'll release extreme wealth like he did George Washington Carver to divine ideas. But in the dream, I'm watching, it's 3 years before this massive war when our children get pulled away, and the mothers come to D.C., and D.C. is flooded up to the waist. And I'm watching it, and there's fish swimming through the everywhere, and it's these big fish, small fish, and they're all agendas trying to change America, but no one unites. And then all of a sudden, this whale, bigger than anything, comes and blasts down, and all of a sudden I hear the sound of united women wailing like never before. And the Lord says, I will unite the wailing women, the praying mothers, and they will make a sound that has never been heard before in D.C. And there I will have my mercy on America. We have got to cry out for the gay community. We're at a window when God is bringing the gay community to our back door. We are gathering together. I can't keep up with this harvest. There is so many people out. One story of this harvest. A young man from Akron, fully involved in the gay lifestyle, goes to Columbus in the gay pride event. Just complete debauchery and immorality. Comes home, we start praying for him. Jesus literally shows up in his room. If he's doing it with Muslims, he'll do it with anyone. Why? He loves people. We have 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. We are new creations. He makes everybody new. He made me new. He made you new. Remember when he made you new. Write it down. Remember, I feel one of the words for you is that you would remember the compassion he had on you and write a letter about it. Remember the compassion of the cross. He could have went away, but he stood there and said, no, for these ones, I want them to be with you. Because we are being reconciled to the Father, verse 18. The Father is drawing you. He is reconciling you. You can't even do it. It's because he first loved you. And one of the guys, we were in Columbus the other day, and this man walking down the street, he's completely dressed as a woman. I'm with this guy who's just come out of the gay lifestyle. And I see the man and I say, oh, I'm moved with compassion. I can hear the Father's whispers to him. And I say, oh, God, I want to pray for that man. And my friend's like, what man? All I see is that lady over there. I ain't a lady. We went to this prayer meeting in some house. I didn't even know where I was. And this man walks through the door. Why? Because the Father's reconciling himself to this one. We pray over him. I said, excuse me, brother. I didn't realize you don't call guys like that, brother. This guy is a major drag queen in the goth community. That's like NASCAR drivers. For NASCAR people. This guy is friends with porn stars, with leaders everywhere. And here he is in this little room, and he goes, when you guys prayed over me, it was like you're reading my journal. He's a real person that the Father really loves. I love this guy. And he said, you know where I just got saved the other day. This is so new to me. I read on the internet, I think I'm supposed to go to this place called Pasadena House of Prayer. Have you ever heard of it? And I'm like, oh my God, I know the leader. And he's like, well, you pray with me to get there. And supernaturally, God got him there. And it's just tough. But that, I mean, that's what the Lord's doing. These are the folks that he's saying, come home, not one more minute away from me. Let's stand. Father, we come before you for this gay games that you're bringing to Akron and Cleveland. Thank God we don't have to get on a plane and fly all over the world. We ask for, God, I ask for the 120,000 we need for this. Just you're our Father. Bring it in. You love people. You love people. I come before you for your sons and daughters. I ask for grace on this fast. I pray you just love people well. I pray from this house, God, you would raise up champions with the word of the Lord that come forth and touch the gay community. We pray for the young men and women struggling with homosexuality, even here, that you would break in with power. The adopting Father, break in. We are seeing 1-2 a week come in. It is an almost overwhelming harvest for us, literally. Now we're seeing moms come to the prayer meeting in the morning saying, my children, my grandchildren. Father, we take our stand and we just say, for this house, release a measure of the Father heart of God that's never been seen. I ask for something holy. Something holy. Something holy. Release the Father heart of God. Release the greatest songs that have ever been sung. Just release poems, spoken word, songs. Just release an anointing for writing in this house. We pray that there will be living revelation sung by the children that touches the heart of God. Release treasures. Release miracles. Lord, come. We pray for those all-night services where it just pops. Your glory pops. It's like a cloud. We pray that your glory would come like a cloud and rest right there. And come. God, they don't need... awakening. We just say the awakening in the name of Jesus. You don't have to strive for it, praise God, but go after it. And we just pray for youth. Fill this place with youth. Raise up fathers and mothers. All you have to do is tell them that you got a good father and he likes you. And just open your Bible and text God. Write down a Bible verse and ask him these three questions. What does this verse show me about who you are? What does this verse show me about what you think of me and how can I obey? That's what we do. They already know how to text. Just tell them to do it to God. I ask you to release anointing on this place. We pray for the games that you would save thousands. We pray for this portal of testimonies for the salvation of your sons and daughters coming home. We pray for every young man and woman in this area that's struggling with homosexuality, that you would break in with freedom. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh, I'm so sorry. Are you going to kick me out?
Well, we're going to take an offering up. We want to have an opportunity. This is my favorite part. This is the danger in what happens when we do this after they preach. Because we get a taste of the anointing, and this is an opportunity that we have to partner with that. One of the things real quick before we take up an offering, I had a picture earlier of just a deep well getting dug deeper. And we had an impartation last week about what it looks like to be a joyful giver and to live from that place of kingdom wealth. And this is the opportunity that we have to actually step out into that. So I want to do two things. We're going to take up a financial offering to sow into everything that the Lord's doing through Ben's ministry, through his life, through the gay games and everything that we're seeing God break through in that area. But then I also want to, because we talked last week about what it looks like to be a generous giver and things beyond finances, I want to step into that and give and make an agreement to give in the place of prayer. Because I know that's something that we move in here, that's something that we believe in the power of, and I want to step into that and come into agreement in that. So first we're going to take up a financial offering. So I'm just going to ask that the Lord would lead you, open your heart, and give you the number, give you the idea of what he's calling you to sow into in that. We're going to make the checks out to FMI, and then we're just going to give one check over to them and make that easier. But this is the opportunity that we have to come into agreement to partner with what the Lord's doing. And I cannot wait to see what the Lord puts on my wife's heart to give, because I don't know if I've ever heard a message about justice and laugh so much. So there's an anointing for that, and it's a powerful thing. So see, how do we want to do this? You guys know where the offering box is. It's in the back. Make checks out to FMI. So Lord, right now in Jesus' name, I thank you, Father, for everything that you're doing here. I thank you, Father, for what we are partnering with this morning, Father God. We thank you, Lord. Let's just extend our hands towards Ben. Father, we bless him and everything that he's doing, Father God. We pray for an increase in the anointing, Father God, that you would continue to take that message deep and deeper and deeper and deeper in his heart, Father God, that it would become sharper and sharper inside of him, Father God, that you would bless him, that you would bless his household, Father God. And Lord, everything that you've put on his heart in dreams and visions and prophetic words, Father God, we come into agreement with, Lord God, and we pray for the hedge of protection around him, around his life, around the ministry that you've called him into, Father God, and we just pray for an increase. Holy Spirit, put your hand upon that in a greater level, that we would see more and more a mighty manifestation, an outpouring of strength and power and joy into his ministry, Father God. And Lord, as we write those checks, as we give an offering, Father God, I pray for that seed to be multiplied, Lord, in that ministry, Father God, and that we would see a hundredfold outpouring, Lord God, as we partner with heaven, as we partner with what you're doing, Lord God, that you would open the heavens, that you would release it, Father God, and that you would take this seed, Father God, as a testimony, Father God, as a seed for the lost, as a seed for the people that are a part of the gay games, Father God, that you would take this seed and use it and multiply it, Father God, and use it in fertile ground, Lord God, to bring a mighty increase in the name of Jesus, that it would be blessed. It would be blessed to overflowing in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And then just one other thing that was on my heart is just to come into an agreement to give generously in the area of prayer, just to come into agreement with what the Lord's doing. We want to bless everything that the Lord's doing in the ministry in Ben's life. The man's got 5 children. We want to pray for him and his wife. So I'm just going to have everybody stand up. And we're just going to come into agreement, and this is going to be a heart commitment to agree to continue to pray into his life, to pray into the household, Father God, to pray into the ministry. So we'll, can we do this? Ben, can I just have you come forward? I'm going to have Pastor Bill and Pastor Mary Pat lay hands on you. Thank you, Lord. And then I'm going to say a however you want to do it, forwards, backwards. Okay, there you go. Oh, Lord, it's happening. Father, we have seen the power of prayer move heaven and earth. We have seen what it looks like to see manifestations of your glory released in a mighty way. We have seen the power, the testimony of prayer. And Lord, everything that Ben and his family and that ministry has stepped into to see the power of prayer releasing heaven on earth, Father God, we want to continue to sow into that, Lord, with generosity, with hearts full of joy. So Father, we commit, Lord, a time of generous of giving of prayer in the areas of prayer, Father God. It's something that each person in this room can step into, Father God, and give lavishly, Father. So we agree in prayer. We agree in the Spirit in what you want to release, Father God. And we come into agreement, Father God, and we will stand on your promises. We will stand on your truth with a powerful conviction, Father God, that can only be held by the Holy Spirit. Spirit, Lord, that wave of your glory, Father God, would be released in a new way, Father God, that there would be more waves of your glory poured out from heaven into his spirit, into his heart, Father God, that you would continue to release dreams and visions, Father God, that carry him further and further into your glory, Lord. And we as a house here stand in agreement and agree to covenant in relationship, Father God, and in prayer, and to bless everything that you're doing in their life in Jesus' name. And I just believe that there's going to be another prophetic word from the pastor.
Father, I just thank you for the new level of fire, the new anointing, the release over Ben in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that this is a new day. New sounds from heaven are being released. We thank you, Lord, right now. We're thanking you that you are doing it and that there's an overcoming sense of newness in his family life right now between he and his wife and his children. And I thank you, Father God, that what you're doing for us corporately in this house, also with the love for Israel and what's going on in Washington, Father, that you're raising up Ben as your end time last days revivalist, who's a harvester, who's willing to pay the price as an intercessor, as a man of God, standing in the gap for our nation and many nations. So we thank you, Lord God, that you're giving him and equipping him with new ideas, new thoughts, new inventions, witty things from you, oh God. I thank you, Lord God, that as a dreamer, as one who hears from you and releases what you have given him, Lord, that there will be something brand new after this release today. Father, that you would reward him diligently and that you would continue, Lord, to lead him and guide him by your Spirit. Lord, I thank you that blessed are the feet of those who bring good news. And I thank you that his feet bring great news. Father, for the end time harvest is upon us. Thank you, Lord, that as a prophetic voice in this generation, that he's part of the end time generation of world changers who will release people into their destinies in a way that they've never felt before. I see a picture of a huge tsunami wave just coming and crashing into your heart, something that you've been desiring way beyond what you've ever experienced. The Lord, I believe, is saying that this tsunami carries a new weight in the spirit of goodness, a new weight in the spirit of finances, a new weight in the spirit of anointing that breaks the yoke, that your words come out as an end time Jeremiah speaking out the love and the desire of the king to the nations, to the people, that this is a day of increase for you. The Lord says your eyes are open with eyes burning and brazen like fire, that these new eyes will hear the sounds of the footsteps. As Jesus is coming back, the bride is making herself ready, that you are preparing the way. The Lord says, as a modern day John the Baptist with the Elijah anointing from heaven, the Lord says to you, my son, I am watching, I am listening, I am pleased that you move with my heartbeat, you move with the rhythm of my voice, and this is just the beginning. And your children will overtake, they will run with that baton, and they will run and they will run around the world as voices that will proclaim in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Jesus is coming. Prepare the way of the Lord and the King. Jesus is coming. Thank you, Lord, for the end time minstrels being lifted up, being raised up. Thank you, Lord, that these are the ones who will hear the sounds of heaven and release the mighty roar that's coming through this nation as we speak. Thank you, Lord, for the influence in the political realm. Thank you, Lord, that the spirit, the political spirit and the religious spirit will fall and bow at your knee, Lord God. They will fall and they will not be able to carry the weight that has been in this nation, that the eyes of his understanding, of Ben's understanding, are being opened and enlightened right now. And I thank you, Lord, that he claims Ephesians 3:16 over his life, over his wife and his children, and that he will be increased in his soul in every realm. I thank you, Lord, for this. I thank you, Lord, that as he walks in the land of the giants, that the giants are overtaken by the blood of the Lamb and his word is a testimony, and he loves not his life unto the death. So we thank you for that, O God, and thank you for the new rays in the Father heart of God over his life.
I just hear that you're Father Flubber. You bounce around a lot. You're all over the place, and yet within you there is more than what you have innate to you. The Father is filling you with more love than you could ever have within yourself. So much more that you're going to share. You're going to power of the Lord all over the place. Share this love everywhere, and it's going to have more impact than it could possibly have just by itself. It's going to be empowered by him. It's going to be energized by him far beyond what we could ever think or imagine. And that's the way it is. It's the way it is with fathering. It just multiplies, 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 multiplies. Can you hear the song? It's your Father singing, rejoicing over you, dancing over you. It's your Father's song. Can you hear the song? It's your Father's singing, rejoicing over you, dancing over you. It's your Father's song. He is singing from the throne room, imparting peace to you with love. Angels join him on the chorus, celebrating your life from above. Can you hear the song? It's your Father singing, rejoicing over you, dancing over you. It's your Father's song. It's your Father's song. It's your Father's song. Halashima mama shininini korododo baba 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 shedededede shedededede hasama mana shininini korododo shema kidededede baba 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 shinononono kidededede shininini baba 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 nananono korododododo shema mama mama kidede 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 shorogara mama 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 shininini nininene korododo baba baba nananana shiriri karada sharada shama mama mama Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Bless your name, Lord. We give you glory, Lord. We bless your name. We bless your son, Father. Empower him. Empower him. Keep him plugged in to your power, Lord. Thank you, God. Keep him plugged in to the electricity, Lord. Yes, Lord. Holy Spirit, electricity. Yes, Father. Father, Father, more within him than ever could reside with him. More within him than ever could take place inside of him. More, multiply, more, 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 more. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Yes, God. Favor, Lord. Favor. Multiply the favor. He's just seen the taste. Multiply it into the banquet, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord.
Just to believe I heard that there's a new wave and a new level of the miraculous that you're stepping into, that you've been contending for, just expecting because of the Father's heart and love that he has for you. But there's something, I hear the word crossover. I don't know what that means exactly, but I hear the word crossover, and the miracles and the renderings that you've seen from the Lord just releasing his goodness is going to exponentially increase and accelerate in this season. Something new, something very new. And you will be continuously surprised. The Lord says that this is a season of great surprise, great increase, acceleration, even in the midst of all the revelation that he's given you, that the outpouring of that will spill onto many, which I believe is somehow related to the picture of the tsunami that I saw. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. You guys, if you want to make those checks out, just put Ben's name on the memo line so we... on the memo line so we know that they go to him.